I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, as usual, I think we've got an interesting show in store for you, and it's going to be jam-packed with information, and probably like pretty much no other week I've had in the last year, kind of uncovered some new scientific information, largely coming from Greg Braden, and how it relates to spirituality and healing. And much of the program tonight will be related to different perspectives from a spiritual journey and different perspectives on different levels of what I call creating positive health. And in that light, before we get into the heart of those issues tonight, I'd like to kick off the program in our usual manner by having a short Hari Om mantra repetition that's led by Sri Swami Sachidananda. So if guys in the booth would play that short clip now, that'd be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari Hari.
Om Hari
Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Hari Hari Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Hari Hari
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari 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 Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Hari Hari Om
Hari Om
Shanti.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Sachidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes. And that's a little bit of what's called Japa Yoga, J-A-P-A. And if you're new to ET Yoga, you might want to keep a paper and pencil handy because it's going to take me a long time once we get rolling here to make lots of points, and there'll be lots of pointing to new science that's been discovered, different topics that you might want to follow up on after the program. And one of the ways you can do that is to play the archive to the ET Yoga program at your leisure, and you can do that by going to BBS Radio or by going to my website at etyoga.com. And on the main page there, you just hit the archive button and you can see a list of about the last 10 programs, and they're usually up by the next day or two after the actual live broadcast. And many people have told me that it's a good thing to mention to our new listeners because many people like to cover some of the points at their leisure and go into further research of their own after the ET Yoga programs. And much thanks, appreciation, and gratitude to the ET Yoga audience just for being you. Thanks for just being there and being a frequency that would be interested in listening to a program that's talking about spiritual journeys and related also to extraterrestrial information and valid extraterrestrial contact. And also appreciate those listeners who do take the time to email me with questions or suggestions about program content. And you can always email me at paperfungo, that's P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo@yahoo.ca. Now, in preparation for tonight's program, as I mentioned at the top of the program, I think I came across more new information, at least new information for me about science and new scientific discoveries during this last two-week period than probably any two-week period that I've ever done this program. And I'm going to kind of loosely tie a lot of this information into the general areas of different spiritual perspectives, as well as different health perspectives. In other words, taking people from basic foundation of health to improving their health and to creating perfect health. And I appreciate that everybody in our listening audience is at a different level with respect to their place on a spiritual journey. And just for basic definition, to my way of thinking and from my yoga teachings with Sri Ramana Maharshi, Sri Swami Sachidananda, and Paramahansa Yogananda, my definition of yoga is that yoga means union of you and your higher self. And you can call that self-realization, you can call it enlightenment, you can give it a lot of different labels, but that's the basic journey. And ET Yoga got its name because yoga, or union of you and your higher self, is the yoga part, and not just the hatha yoga that most Western civilization considers yoga, which is just the postures and asanas, but as taught in integral yoga, which includes six different branches of yoga, it all kind of combines, and as Swami Sachidananda would say, it's kind of all like candy. You can start wherever you like. And the ET kind of came along because I found that over the course of about 20 or 30 years that a lot of the valid extraterrestrial information that's been communicated to the planet enhances the yoga teachings, especially in the area of self-empowerment and in the area of reality creation. And thus, the marriage that I made between the concept of ET and yoga. And we do talk from time to time about extraterrestrial heritage and different aspects of the ET impact. But tonight I'm going to start off actually with a question that came from one of our listening audience. And the question was, can you give me any insight as to why and how to deal with situations that keep repeating themselves in somebody's life? And I'm very pleased to give a ET Yoga perspective on that particular question, as it ties right into the topics that I want to really talk about this evening anyway. And one of the reasons I talk about an ET connection is some of Bashar's basic principles, which are that it's your thoughts, your beliefs, your definitions, and your emotions that are a perfect match for what you experience in reality. And in point of fact, you cannot have an experience in 3D reality unless you're a perfect match for it, because that's just the way our holographic universe works. Now, I appreciate this is a real demarcation line with respect to the population, because I'm pretty sure that most of the population isn't even aware they have a higher self. And that's the first point I guess I want to make, is that when the seed is planted of a spiritual journey, when a person realizes that there are higher states of consciousness and that you have the ability to attain them. That's the planting of the seed. And after that, the seed's planted, well, the plant's going to grow at the rate it grows. But that's critical. And thus, having that sort of a concept or a core belief, if you like, you can kind of expand out from there. And if you look at Bashar's concept that your beliefs create your external reality, then you can sort of then kind of relate that to the question of how come certain situations are repeating in my life. And just to share a personal experience with this, my dad, when he was about in his 70s, actually told me one of the things that he learned along the way was when you come across these repeating patterns in your life, either in the, you know, social area or work area or whatever area you're in where these certain situations keep repeating themselves, it's a really a clue to, you know, call time out and get them dealt with, because they're going to keep repeating themselves. And I think the reason that that happens is because if your beliefs remain the same, you're going to keep creating the same outer reality. And your outer reality is a reflection to show you actually what you do believe. It's not there to punish you. It's there to show you what you believe so you can make the adjustments and change your beliefs. And thus, I think the whole answer with respect to the question about why do issues repeat themselves is because if the issues are repeated, that means you still have the same belief. You need to examine your beliefs about whatever topic that is that or occurrence that's happening, and do your inner homework with respect to that particular situation. Now, another interesting, I guess, aspect of life in the last decade or so has been some of these amazing scientific discoveries, and Greg Braden is one of my favorite scientists. And I'm going to share with you some research that he shares on YouTube that I just uncovered. Now, maybe you've heard some of this before, but some of this was entirely new to me. And one of the things was that apparently a Neanderthal was frozen with the DNA intact, and thus we had the ability to compare that DNA to find out if we were descended from them. And the answer is that scientists conclude that no, we are not descended from them. And also there have been some elongated skulls that were apparently carbon dated to be about 150,000 years old, and they compared DNA there, and the answer was that yes, they did show similarities to the humans the way we are today, but also came to the startling conclusion that I think coincides quite nicely with Zechariah Sitchin's Sumerian tablets, that somewhere along the line, our DNA got tweaked. And the science of it doesn't confirm or suggest who did the tweaking, but I think we know from the Sumerian tablets that in point of fact was the Anunnaki. And this is the first I've ever heard of actually scientific confirmation of this type of information. And further to that, I would suggest, as some place to go if you want to look up something interesting, look up Greg Braden and what's called the God Code. And it's the first time I came across this information, because what they've done is they've taken the ancient alphabets, Hebrew being one, and they relate certain numerical values to the letters of the alphabet, and then correlate those to the elements in the periodic table. And what you get is that apparently the universe was created with the letters YHV, which is Yod, He, Vod, which, when related to the numbers of the periodic table, correlate to hydrogen, nitrogen, and oxygen, which composes 93% of all the mass in the world. And if you add up the numbers of those three, you also get carbon, which then makes it almost 100%. So that, to me, was quite a startling discovery, but not quite as startling as almost like God's fingerprint on his creation, because according to Greg Braden, and you'll have to go and research this yourself, that literally written within each of our cells was actually a coded message. And the message is God eternal within the body. So I highly recommend that you check that information out. Now, there's been some other quite startling, I feel, discoveries that have also happened that actually support a lot of things I've mentioned on ET Yoga over the years. And one of those happens to be the neuron or neural center in the heart, or what's called in scientific circles now the brain and the heart. And the brain and the heart can function independently, as the brain and the head can function independently, or they can work cooperatively. And they work most optimally when they're working in cooperation. And it turns out that the emotion of gratitude actually creates a heart-brain resonance and synchronicity. And we also hear this from Archangel Michael, that the emotions of unconditional love, compassion, and gratitude are the key emotions, and gratitude creating this perfect heart-brain resonance. Also, it's also been proven that this neural energy in the heart actually emits a magnetic frequency 5,000 times stronger than that of the brain. And it is this emotional feeling center in the heart that is most important, as it interplays with the morphogenetic field, which has to do with the creation of our outer reality. And this is also then connected to some of these amazing healing stories that we hear from the Qigong centers in Beijing, China, for example, where if you look on YouTube, you'll see the YouTube video of Greg Braden and his documentation of a woman that goes from the West to Beijing Qigong Center and has her tumor disappear in about 3 minutes. And it's called Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes. And if you haven't seen this, you need to see it, because this is the, my opinion, this is going to be the new wave of health of the future. Okay, because basically what's happening here is these practitioners, and by the way, this Beijing hospital has treated over 250,000 people of diseases of all kinds, including cancer and anything else you can name, and with about an 85% positive rate of improvement in those conditions, and a high cure rate. And the basic premise of this is basically it's a new technology. It's an ancient technology, but it's recently being applied. In other words, these secrets are coming out. And one of the secrets was actually that these practitioners, and they use no pharmaceuticals and no operations are used when they're healing these patients, just strictly both the physical movements of Qigong and the inner healing sounds. And I'm also currently now certified in the area of the sound healing Qigong. And what I've learned is, what I'm learning is so closely connected with this, because the way that these practitioners, and it's shown on a video on the YouTube, how the tumor is dissolved, and it's three practitioners, and they have the, they create a heart-brain resonance. They connect with an energy field that actually manifests a condition of a patient, and the way they do it is that in their mind, they see the person as already been healed. And this is the key, the feeling as if whatever it is already happened. In other words, when a lot of people give a prayer for something, they pray like for something to happen in the future, at some future time, that does not exist in the now. But when you feel gratitude and joy, positive emotion, and feel the feeling as if the prayer has already been answered, it turns out it's the feeling, not the words, but the feeling that you would have if the situation has already happened is the key to this form of healing. And it's also the key to, in my opinion, reality creation. And if you want to look up Christy Marie Sheldon, that's S-H-E-L-D-O-N, Christy Marie Sheldon, she's got some really good videos out, I believe, too. And one of her techniques is she's discovered this as well in her own private life, and it kind of from a different perspective than the Qigong. But she's discovered that the fastest way for her to do reality creation is to get to the highest place she can inside and then to give thanks and gratitude, love and appreciation for already having received what it is that she's trying to manifest. And that is the secret. And on top of this, 20 years ago or say, a scientist would have said, oh, this is all a bunch of hooey. There's no such thing as this energy field. And apparently, like, I don't know, in the 1880s or something, there was an experiment done to see if there was this field that existed that's kind of an invisible field, and the conclusion was that it didn't exist. But according to Greg Braden, in some of the scientific journals, there was a discovery in 1996, should have made every major newspaper in the world, including the United States, with respect to the discovery that this energy field does, in fact, exist. And so this is the energy field that these practitioners from the Qigong centers in Beijing, China, are tapping into. And one of the things I first noticed in doing my own Qigong practice is the first thing that I was taught was to activate the brain and heart connection. So this right away is the start of starting to tap into this energy field. And it so turns out that we have each of the organ systems in the body is associated with a different color and different sound resonators that activate the energy flows, much like the concept of acupuncture, but basically kind of on an etheric level, both on a physical, emotional, and spiritual level. And that's why, in terms of a continuum of health, I consider Qigong and sun gazing to be like top-notch levels of what I call creating not only perfect health, but there are also claims with respect to sun gazing for activating areas of the brain that have been dormant. I mean, if most people are using 3 to 5% of their brain, I mean, do you really think that we were created with all that extra brain to be totally dormant, or were we created with a 12-strand DNA, not two strands activated, but 12, and all of our chakras spinning and activated to make us what we are capable of as a potential? So you kind of have a choice there. And the other choice that people have is have people realize that they actually create their outer experience. Now, if you're one of those people that doesn't believe that your thoughts, beliefs, definitions, and emotions create your outer reality, well, that's fine because all beliefs are equally valid and you're welcome to your beliefs. But you're going to be stuck in 3D. If you want to move on to 4 and 5D, that's going to be like first base in a baseball game. You're not going to score any runs unless you get to first base. And first base is is that connection. So, when, and not only that, but it also means that if you're the one responsible for creating your reality, then there's nobody else to blame. So you can unload all that excess baggage too, because there's just, there isn't anybody else to blame. It's your point of power. If you created it, you have the power to fix it or change it. But if you're just a victim of circumstances and everything's happening at random, then you are powerless, and that's your choice. So it's kind of, in a way, it's a clear demarcation line with respect to different levels of dimension, consciousness, and spiritual perspective. And another interesting bit of information that I didn't know about is that I always knew that somewhere, someplace, there's computers that operate like millions of times faster than the ones we're normally used to. And I did read some information that Google actually has some of these computers, and I think they're called like fifth-dimensional hyper-quantum computers. And from what I understand, I mean, if you take a concept of a chessboard and you put a penny on one square and then double it to two pennies and then four and then eight and just do that for 64 squares on a chessboard, you'll have at the end of the 64th square over $1 million in pennies. And you can do the work on your own at home and see if that if that's correct or not. I'm pretty sure you're going to find it's correct. So let's call that information. If information it would be doubling, which it has been for a long time now, and I used to think information in science doubled like every 2 years or every year and a half. Well, it turns out that knowledge doubles now every 12 months. And according to the article that I found, it's soon to be every 12 hours. And that's utilizing what I call public technology. So how about some of the private stuff, the good stuff? How often is information doubling there? Is it every day, every so many hours? Yeah, likely. Okay. So if information is doubling that fast, tell me what kind of a problem can't be solved? What answer to what question is not going to be solvable by something that has information doubling? I mean, you either put yourself into the upper stratosphere of knowledge and enlightenment, or you, I don't know, you blow yourself in the Stone Age. I don't know which it is, but one thing's for sure. People have access to this kind of information. I mean, it's just totally incredible, because how often would knowledge have to double about any situation before the light gets shed upon that topic? And as far as a show that you could watch that I think is almost pretty close to the truth, called Stargate SG-1. And if you don't know about Stargate SG-1, I'd suggest you check it out. A lot of my friends are like, they're just amazed at how they could have done this show and show so many things that are happening today. And actually, I mean, so many things are so close to what's really happening that it's just, for me, mind-boggling. And I have purchased the entire CDs, all of the CDs for Stargate SG-1. Not Stargate Atlantis. Personally, I have never been able to connect with that program, but I really connect with Stargate SG-1. Further to note is that a Russian scientist, Gerezhev, has also proven that human DNA can be changed and rearranged with spoken words and phrases. And the Russian work provides scientific proof of why affirmations and hypnosis have such powerful effects on human beings, because our DNA is inherently programmed to respond to language. And some esoteric and spiritual teachers have known this for ages, and all forms of affirmations and thought power derive in part from this underlying principle. And I think that is it was a huge, huge discovery. So in layman's terms, basically, you know, be careful what you're telling your body, because it's listening, okay, and it understands. And I don't think anybody's whack because they want to have a good conversation with their body. And I've mentioned many times on ET Yoga that your body will respond to your commands at some point, especially if you believe that it will. I should also point out also from spiritual perspectives that Bashar teaches that the physical or ego mind is trying to control life. which is the cause of most of our problems and stress. Since higher mind controls life and ego only causes interference and resistance. So I guess this is a topic that kind of goes from, I guess, the perspective like Muji talks about as well, is that actually, the only objective facts in creation are two things, that the universe was created with unconditional love and we have awareness. The personality or the identity of a personality is actually an artificial construct. So the place that you want to get to is from person to presence in terms of spiritual progression, where ultimately the last stage is that you surrender to your own higher self, which who you really are in the first place. And the ego is a cultural language. It's a basic construct, a matrix of belief systems, names that one has chosen to buy into or believe strongly, or which has convinced the physical mind that it is in charge of making things happen, when in fact it's the eighth-dimensional higher mind function. The fifth-dimensional higher mind function. The ego is like a mask the physical mind wears. And the ego is what one has been told one is, or more specifically, what one has chosen to believe one is. In other words, the ego is a construct or mind entity that emotionally attaches itself to ideas, creating an unreal identity, thus distancing itself further from the here and now, and thus getting lost in the world of 4D manifestation and rarely receptive to the 5D world of the higher mind that transmits information to the 4D physical mind in the form we call imagination. And I might add that there's one of the focuses or reasons for a lot of technology is to get you to be addicted to games and technology to keep the mind focused outwardly, which creates beta brainwaves. When your mind is focused inwardly, that's when you can create the higher frequency vibrations. And so I think it's very important for people to, like, take time to daydream and use your imagination. And that's the conduit between you and higher mind. And when giving up ego resistance, thus this surrendering to the natural self, one experiences automatic synchronicity to a degree that which the physical mind is it's past what the physical mind is capable of imagining. And so in a sense, ego equals negative ego, which equals service to self, or STS, and the physical mind, or the positive ego, is really to serve others, or STO. And I think you'll find in the extraterrestrial species as well, you find the STS ETs and the STO ETs. And to further exemplify or give analogy to this situation, Bashar uses a chess game analogy. The higher mind is analogous to the player, and the template level reality is analogous to the chess board. The collective automatic mind is analogous to the general rules of the game. The individual automatic mind is analogous to the individual rules of the chess pieces. And the physical mind is analogous to the point of view and behavior choices of the chess pieces. And the physical mind's ego construct is analogous to unnecessary handicaps placed on the chess piece to the point that it believes it is the player and thus has to win the game or make things happen on its own. And as the ego develops in the physical mind, natural synchronicity becomes infrequent. It becomes like coincidence. And the brain is the receiver of higher frequency energy transmitted or radiated from the fifth dimension. Higher mind, which is electrochemically translated into the perception that the physical mind experiences but first filtered through the belief system of the ego or personality construct of the physical mind. Beliefs and definitions literally change the neurological pathways of the brain, and the resonance of the beliefs and definitions, the meaning that is being assigned, for example, the energy you're putting out, is what determines what fifth-dimensional, not fourth-dimensional, reality elements will be reflected back by the higher mind mirror. And interesting to note, I think, is some information from Matteo Saul says, I'm nobody, who are you? And I'd like to share as well a poem from Emily Dickinson. It's a very short one, and it goes like this. I'm nobody, who are you? Are you nobody too? Then there's a pair of us, don't tell. They'd banish us, you know. How dreary to be somebody. How public, like a frog. To tell your name the livelong day to an admiring bog. End of poem. That's from Emily Dickinson. And according to Mr. Matteo Saul, in his research, he kind of comes up with a couple of definitions. He says that pride is finding self-worth and respect in yourself based on your achievements and your self-growth in comparison to your former self. And that ego is finding self-worth and respect in yourself based on the opinion, respect, and comparison others make of you. Interesting, interesting perspective. And, of course, we also have information from Adranus, who is from the extraterrestrial Syrian civilization, and his information that the feeling that you are assigning to yourself a point of identity is the crisis of you pedaling backwards, let's say, within the boat that's on the river of life. In other words, ego is the same as pedaling backwards. And when you tap into the potential of your mind, what you're doing is surrendering control. And that's the key point, is the surrender of control. And said in a different way from Sri Muji, and that's M-O-O-J-I, and he states that every sentient being is naturally conscious of its existence, and everyone knows and refers to themselves as I am. When we say I am, it points to consciousness, to sentience. I am is the it is the way or the path of self-knowledge. However, consciousness, due to the conditioning it has received, started identifying with the instrument through which it can taste its existence. Hence, the idea, I am only the body and personality, was born. It is a severe limitation upon one's being and the chief cause of suffering in this world. But each one has the potential inside themselves to discover their inherent freedom and escape the delusion. On a deeper level, this is really what motivates our existence. Unaware of the tremendous harmony that exists in the universe, the human race is restless. But the restlessness is actually a search for lasting satisfaction. As persons, we are compelled for a while to search for the fulfillment in the fleeting objects of this world, which are time-bound. But that essential itch is only alleviated once and for all when our personal identity is merged with our timeless being. And that's information from Muji. And I want to connect some of this information as well to a subject that I actually have wrote an article about and said, don't tell anybody about monatomics. And it's called, and another one that's called, the subject that nobody seems to want to talk about. And monatomic elements were discovered by David Hudson, I don't know, I guess back in the 80s or sometime. And in my opinion, like, this is probably one of the greatest discoveries in the history of mankind. And actually, it's a rediscovery because this white powder gold and ormus, or orbitally rearranged monatomic elements, they've been prominent in ancient history. And I suggest that you go to YouTube and go to David Hudson Lectures 1, 2, and 3, because it's an incredible story how he discovered monatomics, and it's totally fascinating. And when gold is produced as a monatomic gold, it's a forest green color, and as a metal, it's a yellow gold. And in the bowels of the earth, in the volcanoes, nature is producing monatomic gold. And when it comes out, like, 25% of the gold is monatomic, a certain percentage is metal. But Hudson, he actually may be making monatomic gold. Maybe he's just separating it, the gold from the monatomics. It's hard to say. But he states that if you use a gravimetric analysis and you produce monatomic gold, you get a sort of gray black. And when you heat it, the proton is annealed away, and it gives to it goes to a snow white powder, and it loses 4/9 of its weight. And if you take it back to metal, it regains the weight. And as you keep annealing the material, it would levitate, taking the pan with it. And in cooling it, it would sometimes go to 200 or 300% of the weight. And in healing, it goes to less than nothing, or in heating it, it can go less than nothing. And because monatomics are like high spin electrons, they vibrate at such a vibration that actually when they come across disease cells, they don't attack them or kill them or anything. They just reprogram them. And this only happens in the white powder form, but mass has never left. Even when it's losing the weight and when cooling the material, approaching absolute zero, and you have a superconductor. So it actually is a superconductor, and it's also called an exotic matter. And many plants are known to contain these elements, and even many of the vegetables and herbs grown for our food, especially if the soil in which they are grown is of volcanic origin. So, for example, sea salt is also known to contain monatomics. And common food sources include green beans, carrots, eggplant, flowering kale, coconut milk, almonds, bilberries, grapes, grape seed, and flaxseed. Monatomic gold occurs naturally in the violet skins of fruits, vegetables, and herbs. Many herbs like algae and herbal extracts are also known to contain these elements and include aloe vera, sheep sorrel, watercress, St. John's wort, golden seal, bloodroot, burdock root, violets, and blue-green algae. And I believe also things like sesame oil and apricot seeds, argan oil also contain monatomic elements. And you can actually go on your computer and search and look for like foods that contain monatomic elements. So like in a natural vegetarian diet, you're going to get a certain amount of natural monatomics anyway. But in my experience, what I found was there's an old Romanian recipe where you take the juice from the aloe vera plant, and it tastes horrible, so you mix it with honey. And people know that the aloe vera plant is good for healing external skin issues and cuts and things, but most people aren't aware that it's really good for what's inside of you. And my information indicates that actually the aloe vera plant was actually a gift from the Pleiadians. And aloe vera is high in monatomics, and it'll probably cure 90% of stomach issues. And this has been an ancient Romanian recipe for a long, long time, but they didn't know when it started in Romania, at least in modern times in the 1900s or so, they didn't know that it can contain monatomics. Same with the Budwig diet, which was a cure for cancer back in the 1950s by Joanna Budwig, and it was based on flaxseed oil and cottage cheese and cayenne. And it's kind of like the main thing was the flax seeds, because flax seeds contain monatomics. And, I mean, again, probably she didn't know that because monatomics weren't discovered in the 1950s. But that's why it worked, is because of the monatomics. And if you read all the Hudson material, you'll see that he's cured, like, stage 4 cancer and stuff. And the most amazing thing I find is, I just looked yesterday on Google searched natural foods that contain monatomics. And right at the bottom, there's a thing that says Ace Mannan, A-C-E-M-A-N-N-A-N, Ace Mannan. And according to Hudson, Ace Mannan is a product, I think it's produced by Carrington Labs or something. It's supposed to be like an experimental thing for curing animals of cancer. But apparently, if you look on the table, most of these foods contain like 1% or 1.7% monatomics or something. Well, this Ace Mannan, it says 90%. Well, whoa, that's interesting, because even about 8 or 10 years ago, I read that this Ace Mannan was actually 90% rhodium. And it's rhodium and iridium, by the way, that's in the flaxseed oils, and why it's such a powerful monatomic combination. And this Ace Mannan apparently is 90% rhodium, but there's no such, it doesn't even say rhodium on the contents. But if it's 90% rhodium, I mean, this is that's something a lot of people might want to clue into. And the reason I'm kind of bringing up monatomics is because of a discussion I had earlier in the week with respect to the possibility of the use of monatomics and how Andara crystals relate. Well, the information basically is that Andara, and that's A-N-D-A-R-A crystals, were actually found in monatomic fields. So, you know, that's where they're found. And, I mean, all information, like, for example, from Teal Swan, are that crystals and gemstones are free of resistant patterns. So when you touch or look at a crystal, you are entraining or energetically you're connecting with the crystal on other dimensions in which you and the crystal exist, and this changes your physicality and structure in the physical dimension. And when you share space with a crystal which has a resistant free vibration, your energy will entrain with that of the crystal. And people would have you believe that you are personifying an inanimate object, that you can't possess a crystal any more than you can possess a human being. They are where they are for a purpose. And in my personal opinion, like, they are a consciousness and a high consciousness. And Andara is the name to identify prima matra crystals. And these are amazing, amazing tools. And, I mean, it's like having an enlightened being, like, in crystal form. It is just absolutely, to me, they are incredible. Like, the Andara crystals contain the most concentrated charge of the monofield or the hypofield and a kinesthetic continuum. And they're even more potent than prima matra powders. And it's just an incredible discovery. I mean, these Andara crystals come from monatomic fields. That's where they were discovered. And I would suggest you put one in your water supply, because if you haven't done the research about or heard about the power of water, you need to check out Masaru Emoto, E-M-O-T-T-O, about the power of water, because actually emotion changes the molecular structure of water. And by placing an Andara crystal in my water supply, and I also put an Andara crystal under my pillow at night. And you can entrain with me all it likes. I am really keen on them. And so in trying to put health levels in perspective, to my way of thinking, the basic foundation of health is, as Bashar states, it's in getting pure water, getting oxygenation in the system, yoga pranayams being a key way to do that. Getting exercise, lightening up the diet, which means get off the meat, doing things like eliminating stress and doing detoxification. That's his basic six. And detoxing, to me, is like body maintenance, something that should be done probably on a, like at least on a yearly basis. And I like to throw a seventh one in there, and that's get plenty of sunlight, because sunlight is a main provider of vitamin D, and vitamin D and sunlight are, to me, are the triggers to the immune system. So to me, this is the basic level of health. Then when you start, you start expanding out from there, you start getting into like more positive ways that you can do programming with your body for cellular rejuvenation. Things like the Pleiadian spinning techniques to get all your chakras spinning in unison, and doing Pleiadian pillar of light will raise your frequency, and it, because you're bringing light into the body, light raises body's frequency. And grounding yourself to the earth, I guess a couple of other scientific studies that I find are absolutely right on are, as the Pleiadians point out, where do thoughts come from? Well, they come from the space in between, the phasing in and out of existence is where thought exists and then manifests in the outer reality. And that's another scientific discovery. Most people are not aware that the holographic universe we live in, actually, it's based on the energy of consciousness. The language of interpretation of the hologram is belief, which means whatever you believe is, and that the actual hologram actually phases in and out of existence. So there's actually a point of fact where it's not visible to the human eye, but it's been scientifically discovered now, as well as where does disease, source of disease? Well, first it starts as a weakness in or a disturbance in the auric field. Then it passes down to the body, and of course, this is where I like the Chinese philosophy or the philosophies of Qigong, because they're basically involved with creating free flow of energy in the bodily system. So to me, that is highly, highly important. And to eat vegetarian diet, which has got lots of monatomics in it, and these Andara crystals, by the way, they were formed inside what's called a no-time hyperfield, creating within them a kinesthetic continuum. And this is a continuum that allows a moving time field within the elemental structure. And to me, again, I highly, highly recommend you check out Andara crystals, A-N-D-A-R-A. And it's about this point in the program when I really like to sincerely wish my listeners my best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I'd now like to close the program in my normal manner by sharing with you the Who Am I technique, which is the technique that was given by Sri Ramana Maharshi to some of his more advanced disciples with respect to having an experience of self or higher self realization. And the technique is kind of like you can go in a process. If you do yoga, you could do your yoga asanas, then your pranayams, then a short meditation, get to the highest place you can, or get to the highest place you can by whatever means works for you. And when you've done that, then you place your full attention in your ajna center or your third eye. And when your total consciousness is in your third eye, you become that spot. And when you become that spot at there in your third eye, then you ask the question, who am I? And you can ask it slowly, rapidly, like a mantra, many times, a few times, whatever seems to work for you. And the whole idea here being is, ideally, you want to go through a doorway, and this is a pathway through the doorway. And the process would be to become that spot in the center of your forehead and then state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.